Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SMP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for the talk cast every Thursday night, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions, the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call, and you should find us there. But of course, if you want the best experience online, just go to twitch.tv. Yes, twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you will find us there. You'll see the wonderful video that I broadcast at that time. You'll also be able to join the wonderful chat room full of interesting characters. Sometimes they talk about what the topic is, sometimes they don't. It's always a mix. So, anyway, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called this week. You can find my sfuoncall count there. SFUONCALL. And of course, on my personal account is Paul France, PAULFRANZ. There's no T in that. And France Games is my business account, which is FRANZGAMES. Again, no T in that. And of course, I love the TalkCast. Gets no podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B. There's been a COVID shutdown. Yeah, the whole office got COVID. So all orders will be delayed on shipping until August 7th. So if you're waiting for something to be shipped from ADB, you have to wait a little bit. Sorry, but you know, it's hard to work when you're sick and COVID and nothing to be sneezed at. And also found on the online store this week, I found the R4T counter sheet. Yes, it's only $2. Just $2. It has 60 counters. These counters are for the new product showcasing the new Thonian ships, you know, from the R4T module, and including police destroyers and its variants, the police war destroyer, and its variants, and numerous Neo-Tholian designs, including Neo-Tholian X ships and more. So, and also a reminder that I know this is not A to B, but Steve Jackson Games, for those of you who play Steve Jackson Games or even want to buy things, I'm not sure if any of ADB's products are on sale on their virtual Gen Con sale that goes until August 10th. Just go to the Warehouse 23 and go find out. Obviously, there's quite a few of, you know, physical games that they sell, which also will be on sale during this virtual Gen Con sales event. Moving onward and forward to the SFB Online Tournament, the Sapphire Star 14 Tournament. We're still the semifinals have not been completed. No, we're still waiting for Jack Taylor flying the GBS, you know, the Great Black Shark, against Stephen McKinn, who's flying the Wynn Auxiliary Battlecruiser. They've completed 7 turns. Both ships have 3 shields down, so half their shields are absolutely gone, and about 15 internals each. And both ships are pretty low on drones. And so it's a very, and from the post, there's also, it's a very close game, so it's up for grabs to either one. And if you will be listening to this before Friday night, they said it's going to get together 7 p.m. I'm assuming that's Eastern time. I didn't see them mark whether what the time zone. I'm assuming it's Eastern time because I know Stephen McKinn is on the Eastern time zone, and I think that's probably best to assume that Jack's also. I don't remember, to be honest, what time zone he lives in. But anyway, so 7 o'clock, Friday night, August 4th. So if you listen to my podcast before then please, and you want to go see this great game, go log into SFB Online and watch the game. Just a reminder, those who don't have an account, you can create an account. You can register your email address with me, and you can register a call sign with me to watch the game for free. You just can't play anything but the Federation or the Klingons, because it's in quote demo mode, and that's how you do it these days. I changed it around. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the library, not much happening there. I've been busy with other things. Hopefully I will get around to working on updating the libraries, because I know Frank was asking about that, and I really need to finish that up. So with that is the news for this week. Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games, and you're not. The topic for tonight, which is, well, Starfleet Universe On Call. So, you know, the Starfleet Universe. And of course, we wish Steve Patrick and Steve Cole and Jean Bordeaux or Bordeaux? I forget Al's last name. I want to say Sexton Bordeaux, but I don't think, I think she actually took his last name. As tradition.
Dean.
What's that?
Dean. Just, you know, Dean.
Anyway, wish them all the best in recovering from COVID. So, you know, as I mentioned in the news portion, which is that all shipments are delayed on going out the door until at the very least August 7th. And, well, okay, A to B said August 7th. I'm saying very least August 7th. Just in case something happens where, you know, because you never know how COVID actually, how things will go, whether you'll be hit hard and you'll be down and out for like weeks, you know, like a long COVID kind of thing. Or it's just going to hit you strong the first couple of days, and then you recover and you feel like you don't have COVID, but you know you're still viral. No. And of course, what's the wonderful thing about COVID? The wonderful thing about COVID is that you, after you got COVID, you can get it again. Yay!
Yeah.
You know, it's not like one of those things that, okay, you got COVID, fine, it's done with. You know, you're good for at least for a while. You've got built up your immunity system. You're good to go for a bit. No, that's not the way it works, unfortunately. Now, my daughter, she's a little more cautious about COVID. And whenever she's in large crowds or in small spaces, you know, inside, she wears a mask, and that's her. And I'm in no way, shape, or form maligning that. That's, she's just being cautious. She hasn't got COVID yet, and she's doing her best not to. So, I'm not gonna understand it. I don't think I've had COVID. I might have. I don't know. It's possible I had it and I was very light. But you know, I did get the original shot and the booster, and I haven't got anything since now. So I know they're really.
Sure, I just had it a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
My little ass, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That whole, like, wouldn't even have known it was that I had COVID, except that it was like putting me into the irregular heartbeat, and that's what actually got me into the emergency room.
Yeah.
I spent like a few days in the hospital for it.
Yeah.
And then like third time.
Mm-hmm. COVID, yeah. The virus that keeps on giving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's gift to the world, but there it is. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about how the whole thing started, because
Let's not talk about who infected whom.
right.
Yeah.
And whether it was
It's supposed to be
created in a
Australia, so
lab
please, we're
or
not
it was
talking about it. That's the
natural,
rule.
or let's not go there.
It's supposed to be a joyous occasion. Let's speak of SFB instead.
Right, exactly. Let's not go down those sometimes political waters, because too many things are political these days, and it's awful.
Yeah, even worse, sometimes politics gets that way.
Agreed. The crazy thing about politics is at one point, many, many years ago, we actually could be have a civil discord about our political views. These days, not so much, seems like. You got the either you're for us or against us, and that's it. The agreement. So we can't talk about our views and just agree that okay, we have different views and try to understand one another. It is
Why
what
would
it
we
is.
want to do that? Have you not studied human history?
Don't okay. Okay. I was reading an article that is
We
definitely not
digress.
yeah, well, talk about digression. There's a huge digression. Oh, and just a reminder for those who have not listened, well, you probably if you're listening to this, you probably listen to the news portion if you're not live. And that is that Steve Jackson Games is having a virtual Gen Con event. I.e., it's they have a sale going on their Wear S23 store. So obviously stop by there. You can pick up discounted games. I have not checked it out personally. I just saw the post posting. No, it's not posting. It was I think it was email is what it was. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, it was an email. Because I'm on their email list for, of course, Wear S23. Big surprise. I bought quite a few items from there. So surprise, they got my email address. But they're saying like, okay, for example, just real quick. There's a 15% off select Car Wars titles. There was also a 15% off select Munchkin titles, and also a 50% off on Dice and Dice games. Look for there's things like Gelatinous and Zombie Dice. They're on sale for 15% off. So feel free to stop by there for some discounts on some awesome games that they have there at Wear S23. As I mentioned in the news portion, I don't think any of the ADB products, electronic products, are on sale. I think it's, from the sounds of it, it's mostly the physical products. And that is fine for me. I don't want to spend too much money on products. Good Lord knows. I just went through a year ago a whole just purge, even year to 2 years ago. I was just purging a lot of stuff that I could get, so I don't have nearly as much stuff as I used to have. And some of that was games, some of them Doug knows because I gave them to him. So, in any case, let's get to SFU on call and the topic for this evening, which the topic for the evening was is going to be just going to start off with that is. The tournament that's going to be run at Gamers of Summer, which is going to be, give me the dates, Doug. I know it's Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend, that is the first weekend in September, which is
Okay.
coming up on the second, third, and fourth
Okay. Just a
of
reminder.
September.
Yeah, well, I've.
Saturday is the second. Yeah.
Okay. I just want people to know that what dates that is. And the plan is, now this is the one thing I'm still haven't worked out in my own head at the moment. I know how the format I want to run it at. And my guess is it's probably going to be an SFB event just because of most of the people who play tournament are SFBers. If I try to run a FedCom event, a FedCom tournament, I don't think there's going to be nearly as many people, if hardly any people at all. You know, it's not, just sad to say, FedCom, at least for the people I know and I've played with, FedCom is a secondary game. Yes, we like to play it, but at the same time, also, that's not our main focus because we grew up playing SFB. We like to play SFB. We are entrenched in tournament Starfleet battles, which is, you know, for any of you who don't know what when it comes to tournament Starfleet battles is you still have, you know, most of the rules for SFB. Now, the one thing when it comes to tournaments and tournament rules, there's no EW. Let me back up on that for a moment. There actually is EW, but there's no, very limited in scope. There's only two places where EW is involved whatsoever. Number one, Wild Weasels. You can still generate the ECM from Wild Weasels. That's still fine. The other one is cloaking. You can use you can still use the EW. Well, cloaking is a big EW thing anyway. So that is still in play in the tournament. It's just that you can't allocate for ECCM. You can't do erratic maneuvers. You can't do those kind of things in the tournament. Obviously, all the weapons are available. When it comes to the Klingon, it gets a special UIM that does not break down, which I think sucks, but that is just one of those things. I personally would like to either have it so that the UIM breaks down or it has a limited number of firings. Something along the lines of the Liren, because the Liren currently has a UIM, but you can use it one time. The idea being that when you fly the Liren, you have one opportunity to use the UIM, which will help you in that case. And obviously, one thing to remember is you actually have it, so to remember. But the Klingon has a UIM, which does not. Never dies, and I think it actually should be limited, but that's me. Also,
it could be hit and run,
yes. that also takes the more when Andromeda might have a chance to actually do it. Now, let's mention that real quick. The question is in my mind, how many people actually guard the UIM? If I was the Klingon, I probably would always, but the question is, do people think about it?
The real question is, people think about using guards, but
that's exactly
guards stuff. That's kind of a top priority.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed.
It's a critical system for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed. And that was one thing actually I was going to bring up, and you did bring it up, which is the whole idea of how many people remember to place their guards. You know, I actually did that for I can't say the first time. It's like one of the few times when I actually played against Stephen McCann. I actually placed guards, which was different.
You were running an Andro.
I know.
Is that?
I know. I know. I know. I, I probably shouldn't have done that just because of I'm an Android. And if he's actually able to do that, I'm in bigger trouble. Though, come on, Doug. Honestly, there is a possi there is
One
a
of the things when I
there is the
it
possibility.
was a habit for me when I played SFB tournaments decades ago, but it's really that not that huge of a necessity necessarily. It's more of a surprise thing. If you're at a point where each player has the opportunity to do hit and run raids against each other, something is very wrong at that point. The person being hit and run against is probably at a disadvantage. Not necessarily, but
Yeah, not necessarily, because
it just and not and I said not necessarily, but on the other hand, it's something that doesn't always come up a lot that I saw in tournament play because a lot of times when you've got that mutual shields down and you've done a lot of damage. You're either turning away really quickly, or there may be a concession at that point. You never know.
Oh, agreed. And that's your number one thing is that you want to get your shield away from him at ASAP. And most probably at that point, you have not actually allocated any energy towards transporters. And because most of the time that you use the transporters for hit and run raids, you've done it out of battery. And if you both have down shields, most probably you've already used your battery for reinforcement. So that's you have one less internals. You know, you're not gonna say, okay, well, give me one more internal and I'm gonna do a hit and run raid on you, because as you pointed out, the it's most likely that the next impulse your opponent will turn away from you. You'll so that his now down shield is a way is away and therefore out of arc, and so that you're basically screwed. You can't do a hit and run raid at that point. But any case, so yeah, so that's one of the systems that still uses hit and run raids. You cannot, there's a lot of systems you can't use. For example, another one of the systems that you cannot use is boarding parties. You can't just do a boarding party and try to take over the ship. If you want to, you can use hit and run parties. Hit and run raids to eliminate all of the control spaces so he can be uncontrolled. If you want to, feel free. That's Lord knows, like the Orion and I forget how many the Wax has, but there are some ships that really have a limited number of control spaces, including the Andra. Andra has like four. Which is like two bridges, an Emer and an Oxcon. So that's four control spaces. And I think that's around the same as the Orion. But anyhow, and of course, when it comes to changes to rules or additional limitations put on those rules, for the Andromeda. The Andromeda can only displace six hexes style instead of its normal 12. Why that's the case, I personally don't understand. But of course, I wasn't there at the beginning. Meaning, when they originally created the rules, I don't know why they limited to six hexes. My guess, because the thing is, because here's the thing, you're flying in a fishbowl. So you might want to go 12, but at the same time, the farther away you are, the sooner you're gonna be closer together. It's one of those weird paradoxes when you're fighting in the fishbowl. But anyhow, it is what it is, I don't the
Well, 12, that distance is actually kind of critical because it puts you way out of range of return shots.
And this is a bad thing.
I mean, that's not a bad thing for the Andro, but even in the fishbowl, if you just whack somebody's, you know, their torps, and they've got 8 impulses to use them, and then suddenly you're 12 hexes away. That's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Versus 6. I mean, it could be, you know, 6 of one, half dozen of the other at that point, but it puts you way out of phaser range and out of the effective range of most weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it gives you a free, complete getaway.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they limited it to 6.
Yeah.
The other player might have a chance of catching up to you.
Right.
That would be my guess off the top of my head.
Yeah. Oh, understood. And, you know, though still with 6.
It also keeps you from being that far away at the beginning of the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's a fishbowl, it still takes time to get close to somebody, you know. And yeah. If you happen to be in one corner and that, you know, you were corner dodging and then you're more than, you know, 9-10 hexes away, it can be hard to catch up to you because you got a lot of space you can use to run away while you're resetting all your andro stuff. So there you go. But on the other hand, if we're going to talk tournament, aside from like maybe rehashing the rules, what format are you looking at? Do you want to run it as a patrol tournament, or do you want to run it as a straight up bracket tournament? Like
bracket tournament, it's gonna be a Swiss bracket,
second chance bracket.
Yeah, exactly. So that if you lose the first round, you still aren't done. The reason why I want to do it that way. Is simple. Patrol, we do not have time to play a patrol. In my mind, we don't. If I don't see the thing is, one thing about patrol, one, you need over a full day of play, possibly 2 days of play to get enough games in. That's number one. Number two, you need enough people. And depending upon how many people show up, you know, let's say we get 8, which I think would be perfect number of people to be part of the tournament. You know, heck, if we get 7 and me, and people are willing to say, okay, I can still be the judge, I'd be happy to do that. I think Swiss gives people at the very a minimum of two games where they're in the tournament, and if they want to play, they want to continue to play, feel free. You know, after you get knocked out, you can play, you know, number of games against anyone who's not who also got knocked out. You know, but I feel like Swiss bracket, where you have the second chance bracket. I feel like that's going to be the best way to go.
But here's a thought. If we have like the grand tournament set up for the 2-day tournament, you could also have like a Saturday patrol, Sunday patrol thing too. You know, where it's just whoever wins the most between hours X, they continue on. They get to win that day's tournament. Whereas the other one could be a you know, 2-day tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And we could also have other stuff set up too. I mean, somebody brings minis, we could do like a nice big minis battle on the side for non-tournament play.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
It's a thought.
No, I agree. It's definitely a thought. And I would agree that I would love to have it so that, you know, somebody with a lot of miniatures would come and have it so that people can play using miniatures, which is always a great thing. I know that at Origins, we had at least one person who brought like their whole collection. And just for those individuals who aren't currently in the Twitch chat room, Jeff's there. Jeff, our truck driver, is there in COVID quarantine because of the whole issue. For those who doesn't know that, okay, you got Steve Cole and Steve Petrick, they got COVID. Problem. StratCon was held in Amarillo, and Steve Cole interacted with said people. And given that he interacted with said people, it's a good possibility that those people possibly also got COVID. Because, you know, it's one of those wonderful things that just loves to be shared around, you know. So, best for those. And also, I see that Jeff mentioned that that his voice definitely was not up to join the call tonight. And I'm sure. Okay. And just an update on that. Jeff actually also posted that of the 20 attendees, there were 20 people who actually attended StratCon. 7 came down with positive at this point, and that's at this point. It's possible they might turn positive later. So, you know, yikes. Wow. Chris Newsy is on the chat room, and he's just mentioning that he has been in the chat room for the past 2 weeks because for 2 weeks ago he fell asleep. And last week his laptop died. Which always, in my mind, always sucks the big the big wanger. Just because of you have everything backed up on your laptop. Getting a new laptop, getting all set up all over again. It's just a big pain in the butt. But actually that brings me to, I want to mention this really quick as a side note. I was reading an article about this. It's in Wired. It's just basically the whole issue that we had with software these days. Software these days is so reliant on the web. It's all cloud-based. So that if you lose the cloud aspect, you know, even if it's a software that you run locally, if you lose the cloud aspect of it, the program or whatever app you're using isn't designed to work without the cloud existing. So if that company ever goes out of business, you no longer have a working app. So, you know.
Yep.
Now.
And that just blows.
Right.
This is actually something it's not just the cloud aspect. I mean, this came around before that. I mean, just decades ago, I picked up software for that I used for like set design when I was doing independent film stuff. And it wasn't free software, you know, but you had to go to the company's website to activate it with your code. And if you didn't have the code, you couldn't like reinstall it. So if you wiped your computer and you went to reinstall everything, and this happened with me once, you couldn't use that program anymore because the company went out of business.
Right, and therefore you couldn't activate it because their activation servers were no longer in existence.
Yeah, so I have some software, like, more than just that's, you know, in storage, I think, probably, that it's like, yeah, that's an issue. And it's like, if I buy something, I feel like I shouldn't have to deal with that, you know. Piracy issues aside, and I understand why they did it in the first place, that's still kind of a wrong thing to do. It's kind of like, you know, if you buy a freaking hammer and, you know, Stanley goes out of business and suddenly your hammer is not in your shed anymore. You know, somebody comes by and takes it away because it's just ridiculous.
No, the hammer's there. You just no longer have the head. Of the hammer.
Yeah, or something, you know, it's like you just can't use it.
Yeah, it's
You know, some guy
unusable.
shows up and zaps you with a taser. You can't use that hammer anymore. Stanley's out of business. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh
Come
yeah.
on. It's
Oh yeah.
ridiculous.
And part of this needs legislation.
That's where I think some good ethical hacking can come in and
Oh,
say,
well.
yeah, you can actually use the CD that you own that has the software that you bought on it.
Oh yeah.
But that's
And
just my opinion.
oh, agreed. And I think when it comes to legislation, there should be some legislation put forward which basically says that okay, if a product is no longer supported, that the business no longer exists and you can't and there is no known copyright owner of the software, it should be completely
Okay, that was the
legal
point with
to hack.
that would be pointless because then there's nobody to come prosecute for it. No, it would be a pointless bit of litigation or of legislation, I should say. There's nobody to prosecute for you hacking the thing. Nobody's
True.
going to come forward and say, "Oh, they harmed me," because you're
Well,
not harming anybody.
but in the case of
So to speak.
a software that's desupported, no longer supported by the manufacturer still exists, but they say, no, you need to, you, this is no longer supported. You have to upgrade to our new sucky
What
product.
do you think? What do you think Microsoft is trying to do with their like 360? You know, you won't own anything anymore. You're just renting this from us for a year. I still use my last copy of Word that basically was before they started doing that. You know, I have like a suite and I'm happy because of that. I'm glad I bought that before Microsoft came along and said, "Well, you know, for the next series of neat stuff, you know, here's our new format of doing things." And it's like, you know what? Screw you guys. If I need something fancy and new, I'll just go to Open Office. So there you go.
Yep. Chris mentioning LibreOffice, which is better right now when it comes to the open source community. It's a better supported software. And yes, Chris, I agree on right to repair, being the ability to repair your devices. And sometimes Apple is not exactly helpful in that regard. Well, Apple is just one example. Samsung, there's multiple manufacturers who create hardware products that are not exactly easy to repair and not designed to be repaired outside of people. Now, of course, there are certain things like, oh, these little things, my AirPods. I'm sorry. How do you repair something this small? You can't. It's got this tiny battery. It's got, a little speaker here, a little microphone there, and of course, inside here somewhere is a Bluetooth, a radio in this little thing. So it's one of those things that it's throwaway. It's completely throwaway. You can't repair it, and I would never expect it to be repaired just because of the size of the device, And don't get me started on what I feel like is going to be the new manufacturing process in the future. I don't, unfortunately, the world hasn't gotten to this point yet, but I feel like at some point it will go get to this point, and that is get to the point where we will no longer be able just to walk into a store for at least for certain products. Like cell phones, smartphones, cars. Cars are happening right now because of all COVID. And right now, if you want to buy a new car, which is off the lot, you're going to pay a premium for that car. It's going to be more expensive than the actual list price because if you want the car now versus put your order for your car, which will take 6 months to get a new car, but it won't cost you nearly as much as if you want a brand new car off the lot. Because you don't have to pay the additional fees. Because why do they have those cars on lots are basically their demo models. That's the only cars they have on the lot to show people when they come to the car dealership that, hey, this is what the car feels like. Because come on, I think everyone can agree at this moment in time that cars are an experiential product. You have to sit in it. You have to get a feeling, okay, how does the steering wheel fit? How does the seat fit and the actual comfort inside the car? How well does that feel? It's not one of those things that you can buy sight unseen. Heck, even Tesla, when they had the, you still have to, you do the order online thing, but they still had to have kind of showrooms, quote unquote. And I remember this, seeing one of these suckers at King of Prussia Mall down in King of Prussia, PA, where, you actually could go in and actually sit in one of the cars. So you had a feeling for the car, and that kind of thing will not change. Now, the one thing I actually want to call up a car dealership and talk to them about this, which is, okay, if I order a car, how much money do I have to put down on that car? And what happens
Okay, sweet,
if I
thanks
change my
for
mind in 6 months? Before the car is finished being produced. What happens?
Who knows? Who knows what the future will bring? I mean, we may be looking at a potential where we go back to the 1900s, where early 1900s, where you didn't do your own shopping. You went into the store and said, "I'd like this list of things," and somebody goes and gets them for you. And that's because of just the rampant retail theft. You never know. But hey, getting back to the original topic for a minute, I just had
Yes,
a
sorry.
few quick questions. So I'll throw up something on the website to say, yes, we are having a Starfleet Battles tournament. Now, that being said, do you want a separate, like, small fee to cover cost, or are we good for that?
I think we're
Like,
good
are we
for.
going to do like on-demand printing? You think we'll be okay? We don't need
Yeah.
an extra fee because,
No.
I mean, one of the traditions of gamers is that pretty much the vast majority of games that we've scheduled, there's no fee outside of our entry fee.
Right.
So, like for instance, this year, this particular event is the first time that I've raised the price in maybe 7, 8, 9 years. It's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
And the price for the entire weekend, including Monday, is a thing. It's kind of close to what you might pay for a major convention for one day.
Agreed.
And it's actually less than that if you take into account paying for sub events within the convention. So, basically, oh, and I'm just a totally off the topic thing. I may end up canceling the dessert contest part because, like, no outside food or drink. Sorry. But that's
That's fine.
beside the point. I'm sure nobody really comes just for the dessert contest. So, that all said, we're looking at, I just want to clarify, are we looking at a Swiss format double elimination tournament for the main event? And we might have a patrol tournament for Saturday or Sunday or both as a side event, plus other possible things. If you want to send me some details on that, that's fine.
Yes.
But I'll put something up on the site this week then, because we've only got about wow, this Friday will be 4 weeks to go.
And I feel like when it comes to getting people out there, it's going to be a word of mouth campaign. Is I
And if anybody listening to this wants to, post in the BBSs and other form, other places, other threads out there, other groups.
Oh, agreed.
Feel free to let them know that this is going to be a thing.
Oh, well, it'll be posted on Facebook. Yes.
One other thing is, for anybody who is going to definitely come out for it, pre-registration is preferred, because then I can have your badge ready, and it makes the getting everybody their badges process a lot faster on the day of.
Right.
So if you pre-reg, you can actually choose there's a section for notes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, you can put in SFB tournament and the ship that you want to run. And I'll let Paul know what ship you want to run, so we definitely have enough. I mean, I don't think we're going to have 100 copies of each thing. We'll probably have like a handful of each and then print out stuff. I'll probably end up dragging my printer out there so we can do some extra printing.
Well, then I'll check to see how many.
That's basically.
I just have to look at my my tournament bag, because my tournament, I might have, right now, I'm feeling like I'm going to probably have to make copies of the EAs. That's definitely, I think, something I'll have to do. I have to check to see what kind of ships I have available. If I had to make up like maybe 10 or 20 copies of the Andromedan, because that one's definitely different. And I think another one I have to print out is the Tholian, the Archaeotholian, because of that, or just tell people delete the shield boxes, which is the change off the original copies. But you know, because
we can also make those adjustments on the spot too.
Right. Oh, agreed. But I'm just saying that I still got a lot of copies of the tournament crew, of tournament ships, from my tournament bag for running tournaments, which is at this point like 20 years old. But a lot of the ships have not changed in 20 years. You know, currently the only one of the few, you know, one, there's at least three ships that, as I mentioned, have changed. You know, we got the Archeo, we've got the Andro, and we've got the Fed. Because the Fed now has a Type G drone rack. The Jindarian is now certified as being part of the tournament. I'd have to check to see if I have any copies of those, because I probably do, just because of, even, you know, when they were first testing it out, I had copies, and I don't think they changed it from that original version of the Jindarian. Personally, I think the Jindarian should... I think it would have been more interesting to have the asteroid versions, where it has the big wargs on it, which are hard as it is. They are very hard to get in the arc anyway. You know, it's not like the asteroid ships, they can't hit. You know, so that's just because they're asteroid. So, but anyway, that's another one of my personal opinions, which a little grumble. Oh, okay. By the way, Jeff, yes, it was Oracle who bought Open Office, but also Oracle gave over Open Office over to Apache. So currently, Open Office is run by Apache itself. So that was one of the things that Oracle did with that. Currently, they're still the open source. Well, they're the major vendor of MySQL. You know, that's why you have like Maria. I think it's MySQL. Yeah, MySQL. Yeah. And then you have Maria DB, which is a fork off of MySQL, which is actually separate. Fire Squadron and PF floated to the options. That would be interesting. I'm not sure what you could do with that. I've never seen anyone actually try to run a PF tournament. I wouldn't want to do that because the problem with PFs is they got a lot of power, a lot of weapons, not so much internals. Just like fighters are not supposed to survive all that much. But anyhow.
That would be really like that would be really a luck-driven thing.
Oh yeah. And many, many years ago, we actually had a what we call electronic warfare SFB tournament, which was actually interesting in that you actually, we enabled EW. And I forget some of the limitations that we had on that tournament. I could actually look at the bulletin board backups archives to see what those were. But I think that's one of those things that in theory and electronic an EW, SFB tournament, I think it is doable in my mind. Now personally, I think I can say this for most of the tournament people, they don't want it. The reason why they did it on a not I was gonna say on a lark, but it's not really on a lark. They did it because of there's some people who played normal SFB. They're going, I'll never play tournament because of you don't use EW. Fine, we'll add in EW. And then you have to play with. Because in my mind, EW only really is good for fleet engagements, where you don't necessarily need a scout, but a scout's nice to have. But and have it so that you're something like some of the smaller ships can actually be protected because erratic maneuvering can be a lot cheaper than it would be. To actually have it actually allocate EW, for it. And the reason why the smaller ships would do that is to protect it from the large, from the good old, everyone fire on that ship kind of thing, and kill it. Sorry, the Zinti over there is on top of my printer. Thank you, Zooks. Yeah, I think people can see it in the video though. Hi, Zooks. But anyway, I think the double elimination tournament is the best way to go because of that means people can join in and be part of the tournament, and even if they did get knocked out. On the quote unquote the first round, they're not done. They'll play the losers of the first round. Everyone who loses on the first round will then play in the losers bracket. And at that point, if you lose again, then yucky.
Second chance.
Then you're knocked out. But again, given that there's a 3-hour limitation on each game, that means you can have a possibility of 6 hours of game time right there. That's half the day. If you get there at 10 o'clock in the morning and you go play one game and then you take a lunch break and then you come and you play another game, then because that's probably I'll probably in that case I'm hope I want to do is one have it so people have it. I would greatly encourage, as in almost to the point of requirement, people sign up for the tournament before Gamers of Summer starts, just because of I need to know how
Yeah,
many
I don't think we
people.
need to make it a retirement. I don't think it needs to be a requirement, but it should be a very nice thing. Because
Yeah,
if
but.
you're registering just to come in for that, you're probably going to put it down on your notes saying, I'm here for the SFB tournament.
Right. But at the same
And we'll
time,
know.
to start a limit a double elimination tournament, I need at the very least most people there. I can have have two people, later on show up. But the question is, okay, you might have one person who's sitting there for like 3 hours waiting for a game to, for an opponent to come so that he actually can play. I don't want that. I don't want that kind of.
This is over. I think we're overthinking it right now. A little bit. I think the majority of people that are going to come out for this are going to be there when the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple. I mean, I doubt that somebody who pre-registers for the event is going to show up at 6 o'clock in the afternoon unless they literally are driving in from a far distance and they hit some really bad traffic or something like that.
Right. Right.
No, I think that's a mountain on a molehill at the moment. And if you really break it down into time, I'll be there until about midnight personally. So if you have any people playing late games, I can adjudicate that for you.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I know you don't want to be there until that late.
Oh, agreed. But at the same time,
but
we're going to play by the rules, and the rules state that you have a 3-hour time limit.
Right. I'll be, and the doors will be open for like 14 hours. So even if somebody comes in and their first game is at 3 in the afternoon, they still have time to get a second game in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, if they need that second game.
Understood. And, well,
I don't know. We'll see how some of this we can just play it by ear. It doesn't have to be all carved in stone. This is how it's going to be flat out no matter what. Because, look, it'll be our first time running this kind of a tournament at this event. And, we can be flexible, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a reason to get too, concerned with some of that particular level of this is how it has to go necessarily. If we get 8 or 9 players, I'll be ecstatic about it. And I think we'll definitely be able to get in the double elimination aspect of it in on Saturday. And if we are lacking for that, then we'll be able to make a rule like, oh, look, odd player out didn't get his second game in. He gets in on a bracket on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Figure something out.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
So that's kind of basically it. I don't want people to get necessarily the impression of we don't have enough people, this isn't going to happen. Because if we get 6-7 people, we're still going to have a tournament and we're going to have a good time, goddamn it. It's that simple. That's the focus. That's the intent. And, one of the things that's kind of killed me over the years is, yes, we have a core group of people overall that come out for the event. And it breaks down into two basic parties. We have tabletop board gaming and we have tabletop role playing. But we've also had a lot of people who come in for, and it's like I had a guy talk in the comments a few weeks ago asking, would there be people interested in my particular RPG that I'm talking about here? And I had to tell the guy, maybe, maybe not, because historically we've had people come out to run D&D games or other role-playing games, and if they didn't have their own people coming out to play, the people who do the regular large D&D group don't break off to go to them.
Right.
And unless you're talking to people in forums to get them out there, there was a very historical low interest in that sort of thing. And then those people come out there one time, they don't get to run their game. They say, what a small convention this is. They don't come back. And that stunts our growth slightly, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a similar thing with some vendors. We've had a few vendors over the years, but we're not primarily focused for that. So basically, what I'm saying is, we're going to make it happen. And, you know, whether we have five people or we have, you know, 16 or 20 show up, you know, if we get a whole bunch of people who go to the, you know, the group up in like Buffalo, Schenectady, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If those guys come down, that's a huge tournament for us for a first time. And we'd still be able to accommodate that. If we have to go to a third day to have a finals on Monday, then you could have somebody else be the Monday judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll figure out some kind of prize for it.
Right.
So, you know, maybe I'll make a hat or something. I can scrape together a few bucks and go out to an art store and pick up a hat and fix it all up. Who knows? We'll see. That's about all I could think of right at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You have any other thoughts on it?
No. That was it.
My way off base there?
No, you're not way off base at all. Okay, well, actually, with that, why don't we wrap it up for this evening? It's good to see that actually you didn't drop off. Anyhow. So,
but did I drop? Am I still here?
Yeah, you're sorry.
I just spent all that time talking to the mic, to the walls.
No, you're talking with me. But anyway, okay. Let me wrap it up here. Doug, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and you have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Bye. So. Yeah, that's an interesting podcast. Talk about, obviously, the Gamers of Summer, having a tournament there, and some discussion points on that, different ways of handling that. And of course, we got into a little bit of talking about tech. And Lord knows, I could go off on that real fast. And I could easily create another podcast, which just talks about tech. But, you know, I got enough things that I do, and I don't need another podcast, and I don't think the world needs another tech podcast that screams about the issues of the day when it comes to technology, and whether it's software, hardware, cloud, whatever. Anyhow, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.